Monday, April 9. Time is 8:09. Present are Representative Foggy, Representative Seaton, Representative Peggy Wilson, and myself, Representative Alan Dick. And we have a quorum and checking for cell phones. We begin what might be our last meeting with a final superintendent presentation by Jim Thomas for the Craig School District, followed by SB 83, Teacher Board Certification Incentives, a bill by Senator Joe Thomas. So, Superintendent Thomas, thank you for joining us by audio conference. Are you online, sir?
Representative.
Okay, please identify yourself for the record and give your presentation. We do have your PowerPoint up and ready to run. Just give Annette the cues when she'll change the pages for you. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, my name is Jim Thomas. I'm the superintendent of the Craig City School District. And as I'm sure you all know, we are located on Prince of Wales Island out here in greater southeast Alaska. Our school district is a pre-K-12. We have approximately 316 students in this in that program, consisting of a elementary school, a middle school, and a high school, as well as a PACE correspondence program, which I'll talk about a little bit later, and an alternative program. In terms of our state assessments, our schools, our elementary and the high school made adequate yearly progress, and our middle school missed adequate year of progress in math, and we've taken steps to correct that by having a certified teacher working with both our middle school kids and our eighth grade kids to bring up those scores. In our high school, it's unfortunate we've had a 100% graduation rate the last couple of years, and with no dropouts. We also have a very high percentage of student involvement in a lot of our extracurricular activities. And, you know, we have the use of the basketball, volleyball, and so forth. But we also are part of the Quality Schools Program that's sponsored by the Alaska School Board Association. And we have a community advocate which works with our community and our students to put on a lot of, coordinate a lot of different programs for our students over here. We also took the student assessments, or student, studying basically the needs of our students in terms of the having the support they need to be successful. I had a mental blank here. But through these different programs, you know, a lot of our students participate in talent shows. We call an island grind here. We have a group of Prince of Wales actors. Our students participate in the marathon that's coming up. Last year we had a team, and they also help at the aid stations and things like that. They participate in our bazaars and our different community activities and those natures. Some of our students are participating in the EMT programs. We've had a very successful academic decathlon, and so we've had a lot of the activities for our students on the island here to take up some of the spare time. One of the most exciting things going on in the island is the construction of a new Prince of Wales Vocational Technical Center, and this is really going to be helping the island provide jobs and opportunities and training for both youth and adults. The four districts on the island got together, and we're fortunate enough, in thanks to the legislature, in particular Representative Thomas and Senator Kukish, who kind of directed the effort to get the funding for the Votech Center on the Geobond last year. The project is currently in the design stage. And it's kind of a unique program in that it's we're putting them in the form of an economic development grant, and through the city of Kalak. And the city of Kalak has worked with the steering committee, which is composed of members from all four school districts, and we've put together a design working with Yorba Jensen Lott as design engineers, and we're doing a meeting on the actual schematic design this next week on the 16th. So the project is moving right along, and it's going to be a very, very positive development for the community, because it will provide career and technical education training, like I said, for both youth and adults. And one of the things that we have done on this is we've got a survey out, and we did it earlier in the process, but we're redoing a need survey on the island to see what it is that people on the island would like to see in terms of job creation and development. And so far, we've come up with things like health services, hospitality, welding, construction, all engine repair, diesel auto mechanics, and of course the big one is going to be working with the mining companies here on the island. They're in the developmental stage, and we're hoping to provide some training for the workforce there, which will provide additional jobs for the island. One of the main purposes of putting this together was to provide opportunities for both seniors and adults to get trainable skills so they can get into the workforce and stay here. And also with regards to design on the building, one of the issues we really wanted to look at was flexibility. As I'm sure most of you are aware, you know, the job market changes in terms of what kind of career technical jobs are going to be available. And so we want to be able to fill whatever need comes along, so the building is being designed in that respect. In fact, some of us more senior types remember that before Sputnik came up, we didn't have hardly any, there was no real technology. I mean, it's changed totally. And the jobs that are here today weren't even in existence 30 years ago, some of them as early as 10 years ago. So we need to have that flexibility for our workforce. In terms of the district itself, we've done a few items with regards to energy production. We have an effective wood heat boiler system, which is sponsored by the City of Craig and working with the school district. And this facility also partnered with Viking Industries over here to provide the fuel at a cost that's affordable. And we heat our city pool, elementary school, and our middle school. The facility has also been plumbed last year that went across the highway to the Craig Tribal Association building, and eventually they too plan on hooking up to this facility. So it's saved us already $20,000 a year, and I don't know what the number is for the city, but it's been very highly effective. So if that's one of those things. And by the way, the Vocational Technical Center will also be using energy-efficient heating in the form of a wood boiler system. The windows being placed strategically to let in sunshine and insulated in such a way that it will also create additional savings there as well. Some of the challenges we have in Craig are maintaining our staffing levels to provide the best possible education with the resources we have available. And like many other districts in the state, we're making some significant reductions in our staffing and programs because of the tight economic times we're all facing. Another issue we have is ensuring the long-term sustainability of the Vocational Technical Center. We have a committee, a steering committee, working on partnerships and trying to find ways of maybe renting out space and being kind of creative in how we find funds for the to maintain the building. Once you get the building, you know, you still have a cost to pay, so we're looking at different ways to make that effective as well. And I'm very optimistic that this is going to be something we accomplish in the long run that's going to be help make this facility more sustainable. Of course, you're all aware of the timber receipts and what impact that's going to have if it's not renewed upon the districts in Southeast Alaska and Oregon, Washington, and many other states who are timber dependent, revenue dependent. And so I know we have to take a look because it's tied up in the transportation bill, and you know, there's no telling where that's going to go at this point. So that is a real stress causer for a lot of the districts here in Southeast, including Craig. We always have, of course, increased costs for health insurance. It keeps going up every year, 9 to 12% or more. Transportation costs going up with prices of oil increasing and gas prices and diesel prices rising. It has a very negative impact on our budgets. Supplies keep going up, and I think you're also very much aware that as we go forward, there's going to be even more stress as anything tied to oil in terms of manufacturing is going to cause the products to price to increase, and that's going to have an impact on everyone as well, not just school systems. So, quickly, other challenges we face are preventive maintenance. We did have a CIP submission for a major remodel of our middle school, which frankly is nickel and diming us to death in terms of the roofs. The gym floor is cracking significantly and releasing mercury into the gym. It's not at critical levels at this time, but as the cracks get wider, you know, not only is more toxic chemicals going to be released into the gym, but also it becomes eventually a trip hazard. Sounds kind of weird, but I mean, that's just a reality. We have issues with handicap access. The issues need to be dealt with. So like many districts throughout the state, we all have capital needs, and it's one of the challenges for ourselves and for the legislature to, you know, try to help mitigate these by providing funding. But and once again, with continue calls for increase in funding for every project that needs to be supplemented by the state, or it is supplemented, it becomes very difficult in terms of the choices of priorities. And finally, the other challenge that we face is, as do the other correspondence programs in the state, is graduation rates and the fact that you're dealing with a lot of students who stay into the correspondence programs, and then they end up transferring into back into the private schools, and they end up being counted as a dropout, which reduces your graduation rate, and you know, makes it impossible to meet adequate yearly progress in terms of the graduation rate. And there are other issues too, in terms of math and scores and so forth, that keep raising on the requirement for the No Child Left Behind Act. So it makes it increasingly difficult for correspondence programs as well as regular programs to meet adequate yearly progress. Now that's a fast summary, but my time is pretty much up here, so I would be real happy to accept any questions you might have.
Thank you, Superintendent. And just for the record, Representative Cisna and Representative Kawasaki have joined us. Representative Cisna, Faye, then Seaton. Representative Cisna.
Thank you very much. And Superintendent Thomas, if you wouldn't mind catching me up with a memory that I have of, I thought it was mercury, that that actually they discovered that exposure to mercury leads to harm, but I thought one of the big things was that the some really significant changes in IQ when they actually were able to keep especially youth away from, I thought it was mercury. Am I wrong on that one?
Representative Sisna, through the chair, you are correct on that. It is mercury, and the thing about mercury, I've done a little bit of research on it, and far from an expert, but you know, we are at 0.66 down from 0.93 in terms of the parts per billion, which is well below the EPA standards. The trouble with determining a toxic level of it is, of mercury, is it goes anywhere from one part to 100 parts, depending upon what organization or study is used to determine the toxicity of the mercury. So it's very difficult. But yeah, it does have potentially some toxic effects. We've mitigated that damage to a certain extent, potential, by increasing our air circulation in the middle school, and that was one of the maintenance issues we, you know, we had to take care of because the pumps are old and they're breaking down, so we replaced them and replaced the vents as well. And that has had a positive impact on our air quality in the middle school gym.
Okay.
Mr., if I could just do a quick
follow-up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And it seems ironic, really, when we're thinking of the money it takes to get these kids ready to go into adulthood, to be productive citizens, and if, in fact, we're not dealing with those kinds of health issues, that without anyone knowing, without it really showing up, that you've really changed their ability to handle anything that you do. It really is important to deal with those issues, and I hope that that is something that we could even look at and make sure that in our schools we're really dealing with that kind of problem, which I think it was a century ago that we really came into understanding how important it was and changed where we are right now because of the intelligence that people can put to use.
Yes, we might remember the story of the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland, and the reason the Mad Hatter was mad because the hatters used to use mercury for stiffening the brims of hats. So fortunately, our mercury levels aren't quite that high. Representative Faye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Thomas, could you explain to the committee exactly what's going on with, I'm not quite sure we understand why the cracking of the floor is somehow related to release of mercury. Was this building used as an industrial site before this, or how has the mercury been introduced into the environment?
Representative Faye, through the chair, the mercury was a part of the adhesive that holds the rubber mat to the floor, and as the cracks increase and the floor is worn down, it has a tendency to become airborne into the gym, and it's a gym floor. It's not used for industrial purposes, but what we've done is we've tried to mitigate that damage, and we also submitted a CIP request to the state, and one time the whole project to do everything would be about almost $11 million to do a complete remodel. But we put down the gym floor, and our environmental engineer, stated that it just do the gym floor because of the getting, you have to dispose of the floor by taking it out and sending it south, would be about $250,000. And the cracking of the floor is being caused because the floor is settling, and it's causing stress on the floor surface, which is causing it to crack, and it's getting worse all the time. It's really a serious situation. Like I say, we have the mercury levels at such a level they're not considered to be toxic by any standard, but it is, in my opinion, still an emergency project because of long-term impact potential in terms of the students and the staff.
Thank you, Superintendent. Representative Seaton.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question. There's 316 students, and it looks like great graduation dropout rates and all, but then I see on your last slide that you have 329 students in PACE correspondence. So is that a district-wide correspondence school that you run, and where are the 329 students? Are they all within the district, or are they across? Is that a statewide correspondence program that you run, or somebody else runs?
Representative Seaton, through the chair, it is a statewide correspondence program. They have over 260 students in the Anchorage area. We have students in the significant number in the Ketchikan area. The vast majority of our students are either homeschooled or private schooled.
Okay.
Follow up?
I guess I'm curious of, is your district running PACE then, or are just some students from your district participating? And I'm unsure of where PACE is located, who runs it, if it's having graduation and AYP problems. I'm just trying to get a handle on where that is.
Representative Stephen, through the chair, I understand that. It's a district-run program. Our director of that program right now is Ron Erickson, who has spent several years as a superintendent here in the Craig City School District. And it is a challenge on the graduation rate, primarily, like I say, because towards the end of every year, most of the seniors who go to private schools do, in fact, transfer over to their school and end up graduating through the private school. And we're trying to find a way to follow up on that so we can work with the state. And I know Ron has talked to people in the state about how to resolve this issue because it gives a false impression of the students graduating when they are not graduating. They actually, in many cases, are, most cases.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm still confused, and I see other questioning expressions around the table. So if you wouldn't mind, maybe you could send us some a written explanation on PACE and how it works, where its students come from, and the data on those. You know, I'm very pleased to see the in your main schools, your K-12, 316 students. That looks very well, and I are your main schools meeting AYP then?
Representative Stevens, through the chair, all of them except for the middle school, which did not meet the math standard, and I'm sure that all of you are aware each year it gets a little more difficult to meet the AYP standards because by 2014 we're supposed to have 100% of our students meeting AYP.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate that. And we'll look forward to that information.
Okay, thank you. Just one last question. There are four school districts on the island. Is there another gym nearby that you could use at all while we deal with this issue?
That's not likely. Scheduling-wise, the high school gym would be a possibility, or maybe the community school gym. We could check that out. But I know Kalak School is having their own problems with the gym floor failing, but they don't have the same type of floor that we have here in Craig.
Okay. Very good. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Thomas, I have a question. How old is the gym floor?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, I believe that the building was, about 1985.
Well, was it put down with something that they wouldn't use nowadays?
Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mm. So now, and so you mentioned that. So in yours, you have three different buildings that are school buildings?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, that is correct.
And so this one is the middle school gym, and do all of them have a gym?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, no, they do not. There's a gym at the high school, and there's a gym. The gym at the middle school is used by both the elementary and the middle school. There's a breezeway that goes down from the elementary school to the middle school.
Okay. So you couldn't all the schools just use one gym.
The middle school and the elementary school use the middle school gym. The high school is about 2 miles away, and it has its own gym.
Okay, thank you.
We understand. Okay, very good. We're just trying to get a mental picture. Thank you, sir. Good presentation, and it's always good for us folks from a different part of the world to find out what makes the world work down in down here in Southeast. I really appreciate the presentation. We do have next order of business is SB 83, but Representative Seaton has asked for 2 minutes. He has to run up to a bill, and if he asks for 2 minutes, if he could give a quick presentation, and then we'll go move right on to SB 83.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I just passed out to everyone. You have a It's called Warrior World. It's the Nikolaevsk, which is the Russian Old Believer School by Anchor Point. And anyway, I wanted to point this out because it was, if you look on page 5, that's at the back one, Prove It To Me Day. I've never heard of something, you know, quite like this. And apparently, as you read through this, it's engaged everyone from kindergarten on up. And they come in and they identify the grade level expectations and they challenge those and they actually go through and prove it and then they can move on to something else. We are getting to the point of saying, oh, guess what? We're not going to be having kids bored by getting educated to the stuff they already knew. And so anyway, this is a really innovative way in which a school district has taken their own curriculum, the grade level expectations, and let these students everywhere from kindergarten all the way up through their high school, and they can challenge those grade level expectations and then move on to the things that they don't know, and everybody's loving it. And I think that it's one of those little things that we just haven't heard of anybody doing, and I'm so proud that, you know, we have a village in on the southern Kenai Peninsula that has developed this, which is really promoting individualized education at the individual level all the way down to kindergarten. And it's just something exceptional. And I thought this was their recent newsletter, and there's several other articles in there that people might want to look at. But that one I would just wanted to draw not only our community, our committee's attention to, but the superintendents and the Department of Education, as far as we keep looking for models of what worked and what works in small schools and large schools. And here's a small school that something that's really working. And so I just wanted to make sure we broadcast that to everybody that's paying attention to education, that there may be a model that people can incorporate with their own teachers and their own kids in their own schools, no matter what size. So thank you, Mr.
Chair.
Thank you, Representative Sisson.
Thank you. And my question is, do they operate out of the Kenai Peninsula School District? Is that, how does that work? Are they a separate school, or how does it work?
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Representative Sisson, they are a regular school in the Kenai Peninsula School District, and they're advancing the GLEs, and in some cases the kids are two grades a level above where your expectation would be, and the teachers have been able to incorporate this and apparently it's working just fantastically for student progress. So
and all this is happening with the standards that's supposedly failing us. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, thank you. Senator Thomas, I really appreciate your patience, sir. But please identify yourself for the record, Murray, and give your testimony on SB 83.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Joe Thomas, District D, Fairbanks North Star Borough, and the Denali Borough. Briefly, Senate Bill 83 is designed to improve teacher quality in the state of Alaska by providing incentives for teachers to become nationally certified. Senate Bill 83 provides or helps them become certified by providing an interest-free $2,500 loan to cover the cost of tuition. If a teacher is from a high poverty, low performing area of the state, they get a stipend of $1,000 to defray additional expenses such as transportation that might be related to receiving their certification. When a teacher becomes nationally certified, they receive a $1,000 annual stipend for the duration of the certification period, which is 10 years. If a teacher is serving a low-performing, high-poverty area, they receive an annual stipend of $1,500. Some school districts already provide incentives of this type. This bill does not affect that situation. National Board certification is an extremely rigorous process. Many people who have gone through the certification process have told us that it is as rigorous as a master's degree. Better teachers are one of the keys to better education. While we are discussing how to best fund our schools, we should also be talking about how we make our schools better. Senate Bill 83 will improve the quality of teaching in our state, and I urge you to support this bill. Greater degrees of teacher training are the primary reasons why other countries have surpassed the U.S. in better student performance. High expectations for teachers have a positive impact on the students. And I'm not sure if you're aware, we had the Anchorage mayor down to speak to us regarding his education summit that's been going on for about a year or so and is finishing up this year, this summer, I believe. And they spent some time with some experts that had looked at the country of Finland. Finland does not have a lot of resources, things to export, so they decided that in lieu of those types of things, they would become the smartest people in the world. And they thought the place to start was their education process. And it's served them well. They now stand far above any other countries in the world in when they do international type looks at education process. So that is a great example, and they, at a minimum, I believe, have master's degrees. And they also increased the salaries for teachers, feeling that that was as important a job as attorney or doctors or other professionals throughout the country. So with that, I'll be available for any questions. Murray also may fill in some details for you. Depends on how much information you need. Relatively simple bill. So thank you for the opportunity this morning.
Thank you. Representative Sisna.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The question I have, I kind of did almost right away. Bills like this usually get started with people who have their own stories and see the need, but have seen examples. And there is Finland, but at the same time in Alaska, are there teachers or are there citizens that are really promoting this? And where does the support come from this? I mean, it really is. It points to a direction that Alaska can take that will take us out of the situation where we are, where we're not graduating kids from high school and we're not getting them through college. And it starts early on. And good teachers looks like a source, but there must be a story.
Certainly. Representative Sisman, through the chair. We have several witnesses that are available to make testimony, so rather than take from their experience and their knowledge of the situation, I'd just as soon let them speak to it because they will speak directly to what has taken place in their particular district with certified teachers. So I think that will be quite helpful to the discussion.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Senator, for presenting this bill. This is great. One part I like in particular is the added incentive for high poverty attendance areas and low performing, and districts areas that have low performance ratings. And I think you can identify the low performance ratings, but is there a way that the department can identify the high poverty attendance areas, or is that just it looks like it could be left up to regulation?
Yeah, they do that, and if you wouldn't care, I'd have Murray directly respond to your
question. Murray Richmond, aide for the Senate Education Committee. This is actually the phraseology they use in statute to identify these areas, and so this is the official way that the department does identify those areas. So that language there is the language that the department does use.
Okay.
And we got this from Ledge Legal.
Great. I have another question.
Representative Kovasaki.
Yeah, and if you can't answer this question or if there's other folks that are online later, I'll ask them instead. But is there, for the National Board Certification, is there a standard group or are there other types of boards that certify teachers in addition to the one that's being noted here?
Through the chair, the intent of this bill is to only do the National Board Professional Teaching Standards certification. That would be taken care of in regulations. We do not mention them by name in bill because were they to change their name, the statutes would be invalid. And so, but in regulations, it would be taken care of. That the intent of this bill is that is the only organization from which a national teacher certification will be recognized.
Great. Thank you.
Representative Foggy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If somebody goes out and gets an additional certification on any career, you know, if I get a higher class of pilot certificate in mine, generally I expect to get compensated more. Is that true with teachers or not?
Through the chair, Representative Feige. Generally, it is true. They are given, for getting a master's degree, we leads to a higher salary. That's correct. this board certification would give that opportunity for them to get board certification, which many, as I said, feel is a more stringent process than actually a master's degree.
And also through the chair, there are several districts that already provide incentives to nationally board certified teachers. One of the reasons for the higher incentive in the rural districts is most of them do not. And so if you live in Fairbanks, you would already get an incentive for being certified. If you lived in a more rural district, you would have no incentive to do so. So this would provide incentives for every teacher around the state. This was Murray Richmond from Senate H.
And follow up?
I guess I'm uncomfortable with the state stepping into the salary arrangements that districts make with their teachers. I mean, it seems if there's a compelling need, then the district would see fit to provide the incentives. Is it that the district simply why would a district not provide the incentive unless they didn't feel it was worthwhile?
Well, through the chair, Representative Feige, I think that there are some that are not even aware of that. You know, I would say that is part of the issue, and that's why I think some of the witnesses will help that indicate what difference is made in their particular schools and how helpful it is, and that's what kind of got us on the track. And I believe that relatively small amount of money, you know, over the time as we're looking at it. So it is a good process. It does increase the ability of the teachers to get their point across, and we've had discussions at the university level whether the teacher preparedness needs to be cranked up a bit, and obviously they are moving forward with that. So we just see this as another step in the process, and I can understand the reluctance to try and force people to do it, but I guess they need a little prompting in some cases, I think, to actually recognize the importance of what this does and what the overall impact it has on the students.
Representative Wilson, then Representative Seaton.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at your fiscal note, and so it says that the first year you're planning on 120 teachers doing this, and then 21 more each year, according to the fiscal note. And I'm thinking when, especially in the, I can see where a big school like Fairbanks can afford to go ahead and maybe give incentives, but these little areas that are out in the where you want to give the incentives, you know, this if they hold a certification in an area that's high poverty, how are you? Is there anything built into this that would help those schools be able to afford to increase the pay of the teacher? Because right now, most of them don't even have hardly any extra to even think about doing something like that. So have you worked that into the bill, or is that something that they're just going to have to figure out?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, if I understand correctly, you say, is there some way of helping offset that cost for the districts in the bill? No, I think there's just choices to be made whether you want certified teachers that have more experience working in your district or not, and I think that's a personal decision that they will have to make, whether they are inclined to hire teachers and pay somebody $1,500 more in a high poverty area, low performance area, and that their borough or city would not be inclined to think, in a case where you have a very small school with one teacher or two teachers, that you provide that $3,000 a year or something like that to have maybe better performance.
Through the chair, this subsidy doesn't come through the district; it's from the state.
I understand that it comes through the state, but what percent is the loan? Because it's a loan that they're going to get in order to do this, and what percent do they pay it back?
Through the chair, 0%.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've dealt with the problem for quite a while of...
Excuse me?
No, we're...
I think we've dealt with the problem for quite a while of districts, of looking at pay scales and looking at steps and looking at teachers. And here we have a program that is saying the state, the Department of Education, will be paying this amount of money, not the district. So it's not going to go through the base student allocation or anything. As I understand it, this is a direct payment from the state of Alaska through appropriations to the teachers, and so we have a way of incentivizing better teacher qualifications and better teacher certification instead of falling back into what we've had before, which was, oh, well, the pay scales are all negotiated and there's steps and every teacher is treated the same on the annual steps. And so it just seems to me that this is getting us in to saying, yes, we want the best qualified teachers we can, and the state itself is going to take a, and put a little skin in the game instead of running everything through local school districts and making those. So it seems that the, as we found out in the Moore case, the legislature has some responsibility for making sure of what our schools do, and here is a case where the state is actually putting money directly into saying we want more highly qualified teachers. So although I have to leave and I won't be here for if you intend to have a vote, and I do support the bill, and I think that it is going to be you know, very beneficial as far as promoting high quality teachers. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I support the intent of the bill, too. And I think that teachers that gain this this board certification ought to be rewarded for it. The concern I've got, though, in the bill is that it says in on page 1, line 6, that the school district or the department shall provide the payment. And I'm wondering... Although it says, and although the fiscal note reflects that the state of Alaska will be paying for it, what happens if the department, or what happens if the legislature decides not to fund this incentive pay? And does that mean that the district will be forced to fund the payment?
Through the chair, Representative Kawasaki, I would say not. If the department does not have sufficient funding, subject to appropriation, to make the money available to the district when they apply for it, then I would say not. You know, that's because it's the department's responsibility. On page 2, lines 6 through 11, kind of lay out how to operate. So, if the department doesn't have the funding, then I don't think that that would leave the district responsible for
okay.
it because it's state law.
Okay, great.
Borough, school, district, or whatever.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Cisna and then Representative Feige, and things are in motion here. Representative Cisna.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And my question is that there must be report that gives us an idea of where the certified teachers are throughout the state. And what I'm interested in is the outcomes that are demonstrated when, in fact, people are the certified teachers. They've gone through the required training. And the outcomes that are demonstrated in their communities from that. And it sounded like we had that from where it was, where in, now I'm forgetting, was it Finland? Yeah. Do we have that? Okay. And is that something that... can be made available?
Through the chair there, we do have, in your packet was included a piece of paper that showed where certified teachers were around the state. Anchorage has 59, Fairbanks North Scarborough has 34,
oh, okay.
Matanuska, the Matsu Borough has 10, the Kenai has 5, and Sitka has 5. And then the others are spread around the state. There is a report by the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards that talks about nationally the effect of certified teachers in schools, and we can get that to you as soon as we leave the committee. Basically, what the report says is they've become better leaders in the school, and they become more effective with the students, and I believe some of our witnesses will also speak to that.
Good. Representative Faye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. The interest-free loan, what's the term of payback?
3 years, sir.
3 years, okay.
The chair.
I guess the second question, as far as the rural districts go, it's always been my observation that teachers don't tend to stick around in the rural districts for whatever reason. Most of the time they're starting out their careers, so basically what we would call low-time teachers. They get out to an environment that is fairly adversarial in terms of climate, in terms of the attitude of the locals towards education. And there's a lot of additional factors that aren't conducive to keeping those teachers around. Okay, if we basically provide them the means to go get this certification, you improve their marketability. What's to prevent those teachers from taking that brand new board certification certificate and leaving? I mean, not necessarily leaving Alaska, but now they qualify for higher pay, somewhere else in the state. What's to keep these folks in their rural schools if that's part of the reasoning for this bill?
Through the chair, Representative Feige, I don't know that there's anything you can do to keep them. You've pretty well summarized the issues that exist as well as others in the rural areas. There's no doubt of that. But I think that that will be beneficial regardless, and they have to pay back the loan, so there's really no benefit to them other than they're picking up $1,000 a year, or $1,500 if they do remain in the area. So I don't think there's any way that you could force them to have to stay in the area where they may have been when they started the process to become board certified.
Okay. And we do, if I may add through the chair, the study that I referred to for Representative Assistant shows that board certified teachers tend to have the same retention rates as other teachers. And so there's not a greater mobility once a teacher gets board certified, statistically speaking.
And we do have 5 people online, but Representative Sisna.
Just a real quick comment. In the medical field, where I've listened to more talks about this kind of trying to improve the situations that we have in Alaska, what seems to be demonstrated over and over again, and we hear that with education basically, and that's when you are finishing your education and where you go for your first jobs, and sometimes also where you're graduating from, and this would apply very much. If you go at that age when you actually are straight out of university, chances of you being single is greater. And the chances of you falling in love with a place and falling in love with a person in that place and starting a family there is one of those things that actually gets people fastened down in communities. So the better you can make it for people, and the more chance there is of keeping someone there, is if in fact while they're there, they're getting education and staying in that community. And then one of the things that was mentioned in the medical world is communities need to be very thoughtful about welcoming people that are in the medical field, but I think with the teaching field as well, to stay in their communities. One of the places that I've noticed that in my travels, Bethel. Bethel seems to have in the education world huge numbers of their faculty that have stayed for long periods of time. Well, there's families there, and that's one of the things I think as a state we need to be strategic. We need to constantly thinking, if in fact we are, as your handout, growing great schools, we need to think of the community as well as the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, with no other questions, we do have five people online. We also have Diane Behrens online to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members.
Thank you, Senator. Doug Walrath, are you online, sir? Please, if so, please identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm a member of the committee. I thank you for the opportunity to testify. This is Doug Walrath. I'm the director of the Northwestern Alaska Career and Technical Center up here in Nome. I completed the National Board Certification process in 2004 while teaching in Idaho, and I'm currently one of two National Board Certified teachers in career and technical education in the state of Alaska, and the only National Board Certified teacher up here in Bering Strait School District. So I just wanted to call to testify to basically the rigor and the relevance of the National Board Certification process. Having completed 3 degrees in education, my bachelor's, my master's, and then a PhD after completing my National Board Certification, I think I'm well-versed in the education, the training, and also knowing what the rigor and relevance of different programs are. So I can attest, as was mentioned earlier by Senator Thomas, that the National Board Certification process, it exceeded the work that it took place for me to complete my master's degree, and I would say it rivaled all but some of the most difficult courses during my doctoral program that followed in 3 years. I mean, it took me 2 years to go through the process while teaching full-time, and teachers going through that, I found the same thing talking to peers. It was giving up weekends, holidays, everything, and it was really for an opportunity of striving to better oneself. It wasn't so much about the financial reward at the end. And I know in my case, if it wasn't for a state initiative that was leading it, I was unaware of what National Board Certification was at that time. And at least in the state of Idaho, it also is paid for the $2,500 fee that it took to go through it. And knowing just the finances of most teachers and what it takes to go through it, that was a huge incentive for me to go forward. If not for that chunk, I would not have been able to afford even stepping in to go through that process. And to attest to the leadership element, I would say that going through the process was an important step in leading me into the administrative ranks. I would like nothing more than have a staff full of National Board Certified teachers, or even one or two, just because of that element of cross-training that can take place. So there's a huge commitment on behalf of the teacher, and that financial element that comes back, I think it is very minimal for the hours that go into it, and it is a very worthwhile process. So I thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm here to answer any questions if I can be of further assistance.
Thank you, Doug. Representative Feige has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Of course, right after I put up my hand to ask the question, he answered it. Could you kind of detail what the state of Idaho did to incentivize you going to get the certification?
The biggest incentive for me was the initial payment of that $2,500 to go through. Where I lived in Idaho seems to be similar to where I live now in Alaska, and that it's a very high cost of living. It just happens to be utilities and heating fuel up here that I think is probably similar to a lot of teachers that would prevent them from making that step. And I think education is an interesting field because your teachers that are going forward to do this, they're really pushing themselves to better themselves as educators, and the way of doing so is really putting yourself out there for peer review. So I think I'm kind of an anomaly in the fact that after I completed my National Board Certification in 2004 and I qualified for a similar proposal to what it is here in Alaska, $1,000 a year, that I stepped away from teaching to pursue a PhD program out of state. So in my case, I literally invested hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours, and there was no financial gain. It was just, it was a career betterment. Mm-hmm.
Follow up.
So how much does it cost to go through the certification process for that individual teacher?
No, I think that $2,500 is representative of what it costs to go through, but there's some additional costs. Like in Idaho, I lived in a rural area. I had to drive 2.5 hours over to Boise, which is the only area to test. My understanding in Alaska that you need to go to Anchorage. So for teachers in rural Alaska, you know, one more hurdle they would need to overcome is, you know, a flight. At least one flight. It took me 2 times to get past that test. So, I mean, it could be a flight or two to Anchorage to sit down for the actual seating of the assessment.
Thank you. With no other questions, we have Michelle Accardi online. Michelle, if you're there, please identify yourself for the record and who you represent and give your testimony.
Yes, my name is Michelle Accardi, and I'm a nationally board certified teacher. I certified in the year 2005 in exceptional needs in the state of New Mexico. I'm currently serving as the director of state policy for the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards in Arlington, Virginia. And I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. For 25 years, the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards has been at the forefront of establishing the highest measure of teaching excellence. It is recognized as the highest standard for teacher certification and teacher recognition in the United States. And as in other professions such as medicine and law, National Board certification assures the public that the people who educate their children are experts in their field and have the skills to help all children learn. The National Board certification process is sound, rigorous, and does have a research-proven impact on student achievement. To briefly describe the process, for a teacher to become nationally board certified, they submit 4 portfolio entries, 2 of which include videotapes of their teaching, which are accompanied by a reflective analysis of what occurred during the lesson and the impact that it had on the students. In addition, they must take and pass 6 content area assessments that are particular to their certification area. The National Board does have certification in 25 separate areas, which cover virtually all fields and developmental ages of education K through 12. In June of 2008, the National Research Council of the National Academies completed a multi-year study of National Board certification, which was the most rigorous and comprehensive study to date. Some of the findings of that study showed that students taught by nationally board certified teachers make higher gains on achievement tests than those taught by teachers who have not applied for national board certification or those who did not achieve national board certification. It also substantiated previous research showing that national board certification has a positive impact on teacher retention and that nationally board certified teachers are likely to stay in the teaching profession longer than other teachers. It also observed that national board certification is an effective professional development experience that positively affects teaching practices, and acknowledged that the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards and National Board Certification have taken the culture of teaching to a higher level. More recent data from a study of Hillsborough County Public Schools, which were involved in a program with the Gates Measures of Effective Teaching, show that based solely on student test results, nationally board certified teachers scored half of a standard deviation higher than non-nationally board certified teachers in terms of their student achievement, and that nationally board certified teachers ranked nearly a full standard deviation higher than non-nationally board certified teachers when evaluators combined the scores from written evaluations and value-added measures. The written measures included scores from 2 classroom observations and were conducted by an administrator and a peer reviewer. Finally, while 5% of Hillsborough teachers are nationally board certified, those NVCTs all ranked in the top 20% of their teachers in that district. In terms of my personal journey with national board certification, like the previous witness, I would like to note that I not only hold degrees in other fields, but prior to realizing I was a teacher, I was an attorney. So I've taken and passed the bar exam, and I've taken and achieved national board certification. And I can let you know that national board certification was actually a great deal more rigorous than the bar exam, although I had spent 21 years in classes preparing to take the bar exam. But in addition, national board certification had a tremendous impact on my teaching and the ability to reach the students that I worked with in New Mexico in my classroom, as well as my ability to work with other teachers throughout the state. It had a tremendous impact on my career. And, rather than being because it is job embedded and about the work that I'm actually doing in my classroom, it was a professional development opportunity in addition to being an opportunity to better my certification in that way. In terms of the National Board Certification Program in Alaska, currently approximately 1% of the teachers in Alaska are nationally board certified. That compares to approximately 3% of teachers nationally that have attained national board certification. So there is definitely room for growth and improvement that would have a significant impact on the student achievement. In closing, I want to underscore the transformative nature of national board certification process. When asked what's so special about the national board certification, many national board teachers will talk about the ability that they gain through the process and the skills that they hone through the process to analyze student work and determine what steps need to be taken in order to take each child in the class to a higher level in their personal learning. What can I do as a teacher to engage that student in their education in a way that will really impact their ability and desire to learn? And the research backs up that, you know, this is these are the skills that National Board teachers are able to bring into the classroom. I thank you for your time, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Michelle. Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for being online today. I have a question. If you could just sort of tell me, I know that there's a bunch of certificates listed here. I'm looking at a sheet that was provided by the sponsor of the bill. But can you tell me just in general what sort of failure rate you have for folks that take the test? And if you just have an example of one, that would be great.
If I understand the question, typically about 40% of people who attempt certification across all certificate areas eventually obtain certification. It is a 1 to 3 year process, so about 40% will attain it during the first year, and of those who continue with the process, about 70% will attain. But approximately 30% of people who attempt national board certification never are able to attain a certificate. It tends to be fairly consistent across certificate areas, although the areas of exceptional needs tends to have a little bit higher failure rate, if you would call it that, probably due to the fact that it requires a teacher to be responsible for the ages 3 through 21, which is quite a developmental range.
Okay, great. I got another question.
I'll follow up.
Thanks. Second question. I asked it earlier of the sponsor of the bill. Are there other national professional teaching standards boards that are out there that you would essentially compete with?
To the best of my knowledge, there was an attempt by another organization to form a similar certification in the early 90s, but that has really pretty much fizzled out. The National Board is currently the only organization providing this type of certification.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, it doesn't seem to be any other questions. Michelle, I thank you. I've been teaching since the late 70s, and I was not aware of this until this whole issue of this bill came forth and the issue came up. So your testimony has been really helpful for me. So thank you, Michelle.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, also online we have Dr. Dina Paramo. Dina, are you there? And if so, identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and give your testimony.
Hi, thank you, Chairman. My name is Dr. Dina Paramo. I'm the superintendent of the Matsuburo School District. I'm testifying today in support of Senate Bill 83. Please know that I strongly believe that the National Board Certification assists teachers in becoming more effective and that the National Board Certification improves student learning and engagement. The National Board Certification is a rigorous process for which teachers engage to improve their instruction. A main focus of the National Board Certification process is on teacher reflection, specifically reflection on a teacher's own skills in teaching and their effectiveness. In addition to the writing and research necessary for the certification, throughout the process, teachers must videotape classroom lessons to submit as entries to be scored. The National Board then analyzes various components of the lessons, including the goals, evidence of student learning, and evidence of engagement to assist the teacher in seeing his or her teaching more objectively. The instructor, him or herself, then learns to analyze his or her lessons with a critical eye. Watching students' actions and reactions in various lessons also helps identify effective teaching strategies that increase critical thinking and engagement, and those practices that diminish student achievement. This process of observing, identifying, and practicing helps continue to improve teaching approaches in the classroom to influence positive changes and increase success for students. Overall, the National Board is all about building and enduring reflective practices that ultimately improve instruction and learning. Matsubara School District sees that Senate Bill 83 is about honoring and placing value on effective teaching practices, not strictly on tenure or experience. Matsubara School District has 10 out of our 1,200 teachers who currently hold certification through the National Board, and we do award stipends to these teachers in addition to what this bill proposes. So what we found in MatSU, it may do like the gentleman said, encourage more folks to get it, but it certainly brings a rigor and a reflective practice to the profession of teaching. And the teachers who teach in MatSU who are nationally board certified do get results. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dina Paramo. Any questions from committee? Okay, very good. Thank you again, Dina. I understand Superintendent Pete Lewis is online from Fairbanks. If so, identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Pete Lewis, the superintendent of the Fairbanks North Scarborough School District, and I, too, am here to testify in support of SB 83. And I think the previous testimony has covered the key elements of the National Board certification process. As you know, our teachers are working incredibly hard, and they continue to improve. Having solid staff development and training does make a difference. National Board certification is a rigorous process that leads to better instruction that results in improved student achievement. Recognizing the effort with a financial stipend is a step in the right direction. In addition, the loan aspect of this bill will also benefit teachers as they enter the program. As you know, costs are high and many are struggling to make ends meet. Having a loan program will allow more teachers to move towards National Board certification. Please support SB 83, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions of committee for Superintendent Lewis? Okay. Thank you, Pete. And moving on, I understand we have Steve Atwater online. Steve, are you there? And I'll give your testimony, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Steve Atwater. I'm superintendent for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I'm calling in to testify in support of Senate Bill 83. I encourage you to pass this from committee. One of my expectations that I have for all the employees on the Kenai Peninsula School District is that they will improve their job performance. And on the Kenai, we recognize the importance of professional development and have spent a lot of time refining our professional development processes. And I'm pleased to know that our teachers report that our work in this area is helping them better meet the learning needs of our 9,000 students. And I think Representative Seaton's comments earlier speak to this. But as you know, much of a teacher's professional development is pursued independently of the home school district. And while teachers' TD away from the school district is well-intentioned, it doesn't always lead to the desired results. I believe, however, that our teachers who receive the National Board certification consistently have excellent evaluations and good student results. The five core propositions for the National Board certification include teachers working as a part of a learning community. It is well established that teachers who collaborate with one another are more effective than those who do not. I mention this because increasing the level of teacher collaboration is one of our district goals. Adding board certified teachers will thus allow a district to reap the benefits beyond the immediate teacher's classroom. It will lead to other teachers learning from the board certified teacher. It is fair then to assume that the addition of board certified teachers to a district will help several other teachers improve their craft, and that's an important point to make. As you know, there's a lot of conversation about raising standards as a way to improve education. And while this is a necessary part of the school improvement equation, it itself is not enough. We must also improve our teachers' pedagogical skills. I believe that the rigorous National Board certification process is an excellent way to do this. I know that it will help our teachers meet our students' learning needs. In closing, I'm convinced that increasing the number of board-certified teachers in Alaska will lead to a higher level of achievement for our state students. I encourage you to pass this bill. And then finally, I want to end this testimony with a comment from one of our board-certified teachers. The certification process is what makes a person a better teacher, not the certificate. Teachers that start the certification process are good teachers, but the process helps them analyze and articulate their teaching. To name a few things, I found myself having to articulate how I knew a student was engaged during a classroom lecture. I had to analyze how I assessed all students, how I accounted for diversity. I had to show that I was an active member of my profession. I had to videotape several lessons, analyze them, and speak to the lessons. All this reflection and analyzing made me look at what it was about my teaching that makes me a good teacher. Many times, teachers work to a level of unconscious competence where they do things very well, but maybe don't even have time to think about what it is that they do. This process requires a teacher to be conscious of this and reflect on what it is they do well and not so well. The process also made me very aware of the areas I am weak in and how to improve. The time required to complete the process is immense, but the benefits are tremendous, and I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
Any questions from committee, Superintendent Steve Atwater? Okay, thank you, Steve. Anybody else in the room that would like to testify? Okay, we will close public testimony. And is there further committee discussion? And what's the will of the committee? Representative Sisner?
Mr. Chair, I think that it would be a reasonable idea to move this piece of legislation.
Representative Feige.
Chairman, I move CS for Senate Bill number 8327-LS0425 /Delta with attached fiscal number and individual recommendation.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion? Okay. Seeing none, SB 83 moves from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note. And, okay, we will take a... Well, we can sign while we're... I'm going to make a comment here, and then we can... there's a thought that's arisen in my mind, and I this could perhaps be the last meeting of the Education Committee, but there's one question that's arisen in my mind that we might have a meeting on Friday, and that question is in regards to impact funds and how the impact funds are distributed, in line with the BSA and the funding formula. So I do have a question of the department, and we may or may not have just a brief meeting on Friday, but I might call a brief meeting on Friday for that purpose. So, but in case we don't, I really want to thank our Record Secretary, Kelly Burnett, for steadfastness in keeping us on the record. Thank you, Kelly. Really, you've been a real addition here. Sometimes I get feeling a little down. I look over, and there's always a smile over there. So I really appreciate that. So, with no further business before at this time, we are adjourned at 9:22.